Well, for all of those of you in DVD land, this is half a sermon. The first half, we went through Leviticus 26. So if you want to stop your DVD player and read Leviticus 26, then that will bring you up to date as to what we're doing here. Okay. Now, this was sent to me. It's entitled, "The Thunder Will Fall." And this has happened in cycles in the past, but notice they always get more intense. This is written by Sheriff Jim R. Viso, and he's retired. And he gets into Scripture quite a lot, see, because there are others out there. See, we're not alone. There are others, and God uses them to warn the people in the world, and those of us within the church were to warn those in the church and also warn the world as well. But there are a lot of people who will not listen to ministers, especially if they look at the Trinity Channel, they're turned off. Don't blame them. So God will use others. For example, I believe he used Glenn Beck to do a lot of warning. The only problem is he didn't realize that George Soros got him fired. How many here watch Glenn Beck? Okay. Now, he didn't do it directly, but all of the sponsors said, if Glenn Beck keeps doing this, we're going to pull all of our advertising time off Fox News. So guess who went? He's got a however long he needs to finish up his contract to a certain point to go. But here's something that is important for us to realize. See, he starts out by quoting Galatians 6:7, which says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap." Now, this happens in our individual lives. You can measure it yourself. And what happens when we do things that are not right? We have to recover to God. And how do we recover to God? But through repentance, correct? Yes, indeed. So he starts out his letter. Let's go to Job 37. And I think he did a very good analysis of it, you see. See, the Word of God is available to anyone who will read it, who will believe it, who will follow it. God will open their minds to understanding. Those who reject it, those who close their eyes, they won't understand. Job 37. Now, this is quite interesting here when you read this section. Let's pick it up in verse 9. And as we're reading verse 9, I want you to think about the weather reports when they were reporting all of these terrible tornadoes and all of the storms that were coming. And they came one after another, more tornadoes and more death than ever before. All right, let's read it. Verse 9, "Out of the south comes the whirlwind." Now, what is a whirlwind? Tornado. And some of them got up to 205 miles an hour. "And cold out of the north." Now, what does the weatherman say when he gives a tornado warning? There's a warm front coming up from the Gulf of Mexico, right? There's a cold front coming down from the north, either Alaska or Canada, and when the two hit in the middle of the country, you have tornadoes. Verse 10, "By the breath of God, ice is given, and the expanse of waters is frozen tight, and he loads the clouds with moisture. He spreads abroad the clouds of his lightning, and they are turned around by his guidance so that they may do whatever he commands them on the face of the whole earth." Who's the author of weather? God is. Does God use weather for correction? Yes, indeed. That's part of the curses that God said would come. You can read Deuteronomy 28, Leviticus 26. Now notice verse 13. Whether for correction, was there correction due? Or for land, or for mercy, that is good weather, he causes it to come. Hearken to this, O Job, stand still and consider the wonderful works of God. Do you know how God directs them and causes the lightning of his clouds to shine? Do you know the balancing of the clouds and the wonderful works of him who is perfect in knowledge? And as I mentioned before, now they know when there's a lot of lightning, it also goes up out of the atmosphere, clear into the stratosphere, by 200,000 feet. So there's a lot going on. You know, just like men think they know everything about science. So we're smart, and we can say there's evolution, we can determine how old the earth is. And just last week, God sent them a curveball so big they're all frantic. Because out of the sun were coming particles that neutralize the radiation from Fukushima. Now, radiation is supposed to deteriorate a half-life every so many thousands of years, correct? Here, in minutes, it's gone. So why were they all excited and sending emails to each other? Because they're frantic, because it destroys the theory of evolution and the theory of how they age things that they find in the earth. So you see, just when men think they really understand it, oh, we're important, we know all about the universe, bang, God does something and they have to sit up and take notice. All right? So he talks about in this report about everything that happened down there, especially in the area of Alabama. Now that that tornado, and actually a hurricane is a bigger tornado. Okay. But the tornado that hit Alabama came down on the ground and stayed there for 100 miles and tore everything up. So he says, here's a little research that he did. He said he noted that Alabama suffered the worst damage and the greatest loss of life. Okay, there were over 300 dead attributed to the tornado. A little research, quote, tells me that this storm descended upon the heels of a successful blocking by Planned Parenthood and the medical abortion killers, which was this bill. It was the fetal personage bill in the state of Alabama legislature. This bill would have extended to unborn babies all the rights, privileges, and immunities available to other persons, citizens, and residents of the state. And he says, my, what a novel idea. That this debased society, in this society, that living babies might be protected from infanticide and be enabled to have the protection of the Sixth Amendment that prohibits all acts of murder of human beings. Remember what Jeremiah's message was? When they killed their children, because they had birth control then, they let them be born, but they were offered to Moloch, which was, either way, a hideous practice. Okay, so he says, does it appear that the Almighty takes a dim view on the deliberate disobedience of his absolute stricture against unwanted killing of his own, as presently many sections of several states, including Alabama? And now they lie in wreckage, strewn with temporal bits and pieces of men's visage of a perfect life. It is as if the Creator has replicated the carnage that has taken place in the state's 6 abortion murder clinics, where they where the torn bits and pieces of formerly living babies are discarded in bins and dumpsters, and after having been slaughtered without even the tranquilizing benefits that are afforded to most brutal murderers in the execution chambers. These babies feel pain, excruciating pain, and their blood cries out to the Father from the ground. Now God takes vengeance. We have in the New Testament, vengeance is mine, says the Lord, right? Now a lot of people think, well, the God of the Old Testament was a God of disaster and a God of punishment and a God of correction. Well, when you read the book of Revelation, what is Jesus going to do? Every one of those things, right? Yes, indeed. Let's see the prophecies of the last days of the city of Jerusalem before it was destroyed in 586 BC. What did God do with Jerusalem? Okay, now if you want to read history, how many here have Josephus? Okay, if you have Josephus, read about both occurrences of the destruction of Jerusalem in 586 BC and in 70 AD. And in every case, everything that they did to try and prevent it was met with utter destruction. See, God is merciful and kind. He gives warnings. Then if we don't turn to Him, then He lets us go for a while, and then He gives other warnings. And if we don't give heed to those warnings, then He sends more severe. That's why Leviticus 26 says, seven times. Now we've heard it said about breaking the pride of the power. What is the pride of our power? Combination of money, military, and a special relationship with God. All combined. Now let's come here to chapter 7. Now this did not occur exactly right then. But let's see the causes of it. See? Like I mentioned in my short series of Five Church at Home, the repentance has to start with the top. Remember what happened when Jonah came into Nineveh and he was preaching repentance. The message came to the king. What did he do? He ripped his clothes, put on sackcloth and ashes, ordered every citizen fast and pray to God that he will hold back the hand of his punishment. He even made all the animals go without eating and drinking. Thorough repentance. And so what happened? Now these are not even Israelites. Gentiles. And God put that in there as a lesson to all the Gentiles and Jews who think that, oh, we have a special relationship with God, so therefore, we don't have to repent. See? So God held off the punishment for 120 years. Now, just think what would happen in America if all the religious leaders say, we have been wrong about Sunday, we are going to have meetings of prayer and repentance every Sabbath for the next month, and we are going to be fasting and praying, and we are going to return to God and the president himself and all the big religious leaders, including all the Catholics. And the Catholics would say, we are wrong. We have idols. We have statues. We've been praying to the Virgin Mary. We're nothing more than baptized paganism. And yet we use the name of Christ. All of our priests can marry. All of the nuns can marry. We're going to stop all the pedophilia. We're going to stop all the robbery. Likewise with all of the Protestants. Likewise with all the evolutionists. Oh God, we see your hand. You're a God who has created. We repent of being so stupid and saying that everything came from nothing. And we repent of the Big Bang. It was your Big Bang, not ours. Just think what would happen. Just like in the days of Josiah, he would turn his hand back. But is there any repentance? See, just like brethren with the church, what the church is going through now, there needs to be a lot of repentance. because they're in the same predicament. They have taken God for granted. They have watered down the truth of God. They have ruled over the brethren. They haven't preached what they ought to preach. And so look at the churches of God today. And all I can say is, they're pitiful. We're pitiful. We need God's Spirit. We need God's love. We need God's mercy. And I hate to see all the things that the brethren are going through and all that we have gone through. But if we can learn from it, and if we can profit from it and return to God, then God will be with us. But look at what he says here. Let's come to Ezekiel 37. This is what is going to happen. Exactly when, we don't know. But God's word is here as a witness. And in particularly here in America, we all have Bibles. Come to Ezekiel 7, okay? We all have Bibles. And like I say at church at home, Ezekiel 7, what did I say? Something else?
37.
No, that's a special reward for Gog and Magog. Okay. And I have some information on what China is doing. And if you think China is a terror now, just wait. Just wait. Remember the sermon I gave? That China will fill the vacuum when the United States leaves? Gonna happen. All right. Ezekiel 7. Forget the three in front of it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, and also you, son of man, thus says the Lord, to the land of Israel, not just the Jews. Land of Israel. There comes a day of reckoning beyond which you cannot pass. Remember what happened when the economy fell? They reached a certain point and the day of reckoning came, bam! And we have yet to recover, right? We could have, but we didn't turn to God. He says, an end. The end has come upon the four corners of the land. Now the end has come upon you, and I will send my anger upon you, and will judge you according to your ways, and will lay upon you all your abominations, beginning with 55 million killing of the unborn. That's worse than Hitler, is it not? Yet, we like to use movies of the Third Reich and show how bad they were. Well, God sees us a little differently, doesn't he? My eye shall not spare, neither will I have pity, but I will repay your ways upon you, and your abominations shall be in your midst, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Now, down there in Alabama, a lot of them knew that this was the hand of God, but they didn't have anyone there to tell them what it was for. So I'm glad that this retired sheriff is telling him what it's for. I didn't know that that bill was blocked by Planned Parenthood. Can you think of how absolutely hideously abominable that name is? Planned Parenthood? It is planned murder, sanctioned by the state to give license to commit fornication and adultery and every perversion under the sun. I will not spare, but I will repay your ways upon you, and your abomination shall be in your midst, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Thus says the Lord, an evil, behold, an unheard of evil has come. The end is come, the end is come. It strikes against you, behold, it has come. Now, that day is going to happen. You know how vulnerable this nation is? One man brought up to me when I was traveling during days of unleavened bread. He said, have you ever thought about the motorcycle gangs and M13 and the Nation of Islam and the different Islamic things here and other nationalities here? He said you could shut this nation down in one day. Coordinated attacks, key highways, blow up the key bridges. Gas lines, oil lines. You could shut it down in one day. And here we all are. Everything that we live by is come by transportation, does it not? See how quickly that could happen? We don't know what else will happen. We don't know how bad it's going to get, brethren. But it does say that you will be the borrower and the lender shall get up very high above you, and the strangers within you shall get up high above you. It's not because they are strangers. It's because we're sinners. See? Verse 7, the encirclement of doom has come unto you, O dwellers of the land. The time has come. The day of tumult is near. Not a joyful shouting upon the mountains. I will soon pour out my fury upon you and will fulfill my anger upon you, and I will judge you according to your ways and will repay you for all your abominations. Now, for all the young folks out there, you better listen to the Word of God. Because everything you get on your BlackBerry and all your friends and everything that is out there for you, that is for youth and teens, that is designed to bring you into sin. To bring you in to illicit sex, to destroy your mind, to bring you into taking drugs, and it's done by the music. And it's done by, if you go to any of these teen events, they've got the flashing lights. What does that do? That hypnotizes the mind. You don't have control over your moral thoughts to say no. You are walking, talking, and sitting ducks. If you give yourself over to your iPhone or to your BlackBerry and over to your friends and you go against your parents, you better heed. You better listen. God loves you and doesn't want you to go through that. But if you do, beware. It's not going to be pleasant. You need to listen. It's not that your folks are, you know, all mad against you. It's not that God is mad against you. He loves you. But you live in such a wicked society that you need to understand, just because you have friends out in that wicked society, don't follow them, because the first thing that they're going to do when you're alone with them and your parents are nowhere around and their parents are nowhere around, you're going to start getting into trouble, and that trouble is spelled S-I-N. Now, some of those things may be recoverable. Other of those things may not be recoverable. You need to listen. You need to have God in your life. God will watch over you, because we're going to finish this sermon with Psalm 91. And you will see how God can be with you. But you see, the only comparison you have is growing up in your family and then looking at the school you go to and the kids and things that you have there. And of course, they're going to be nice to you. Now, there are some good kids. Be with those. Stay away from the ones who are not. Don't associate with them. Okay? Let's go ahead, because here, verse 9. Because there comes a time. We need to realize, my eye shall not spare, neither will I have pity. I will repay you according to your ways and your abominations in your midst, and you shall know that I am the Lord who strikes. You're going to know. We're getting closer and closer and closer to those days. Behold the day, behold it has come. The encirclement of doom has gone out, and the rod has blossomed, and arrogance has budded. Violence has risen up like a rod of wickedness. None of them shall remain, nor their multitude, nor of any of them of their riches, nor shall there be any wailing for them. The time has come, the day has arrived. Let not the buyer rejoice, nor the seller mourn, for wrath is upon all her multitude. Now, I read the book The Day the Dollar Crashes. This sounds just like it. See? And I'm going to bring a sermon on that. I thought I had the book with me, but I don't. So we'll save that for another time. See? The seller shall not recover the thing that he has sold as long as both of them live. For the vision of all her multitude shall not be reversed. Neither shall any preserve his life because of his iniquity. All right, come over here to verse 23. Now, if you want a really heavy read, you think Jeremiah is bad? Boy, read Ezekiel. Anyone who desires to become a prophet? Read what God required of Ezekiel. Yes, I want to be a prophet of the Lord. I'm a prophet of the Lord, you know. Like the one who said, I'm one of the two witnesses, and later he said his wife was the other one. Like I said before, he forgot one very important thing. He only had 1,260 days. Right? We'll see. And like this Chris Holding, May 21st is the rapture. Everyone's saying, hooray, May 21st is the rapture. I want to hear him speak on May 22nd. I want to find out what he's going to say. See, what did Jesus say? Everyone's going to know when it's going to happen. No, he didn't. He said, no man knows the day or the hour. How many have seen the big billboard, May 21st? Oh, it's all up north. Oh, you guys down here in Southern California? No rapture for you. Only Northern California. The fight has ended. Okay. Okay. Here's why. Verse 23. Now think of this. Make a chain, for the land is full of bloody crimes. And the city is full of violence. Sound like the nightly news, right? And I will bring the worst of the heathen, and they shall possess their houses. I'll let you think on that. I will also make the pomp of the strong to cease, and their holy places shall be defiled. Terror comes, and they shall seek peace, but there shall be none. Disaster shall come upon disaster, and rumor shall be upon rumor, and they shall seek a vision from the prophet, but the law shall perish from the priest, and the wisdom from the elders. The king shall mourn, and the prince shall be clothed with despair, and the hands of the people of the land shall tremble. And I will do to them according to their ways, and according to their uncleanness. I will judge them, says, and they shall know that I am the Lord. That day is coming. Past fulfillment, present fulfillment. All right. Let's come to Hosea, the 4th chapter. We've been here before. But let's see. Hosea 4, okay? Hosea, the 4th chapter. Let's see how all of this works out, okay? Now, you know, it's going to come especially difficult upon this television age. It's going to come as a greater surprise because we live in an artificial reality created by television. Yes, there's a lot of violence on it, but they will look as violence as something that is on television, not as something that they will personally experience, because everything is just fine. Everything works out just right. But the day is coming when it won't. Because here's the reason. Hosea 4 and verse 1. Hear the word of the Lord, children of Israel, for the Lord has a controversy with the inhabitants of the land. Everyone. There is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out and blood touches blood. And it does. Now it affects the land. It affects the environment. Therefore shall the land mourn, and everyone who dwells in it shall languish with the beast of the field, with the birds of heaven. Yes, the fish of the sea shall also be taken away. What do we hear now? They're running out of tuna. They're running out of salmon. They're running out of codfish. And the population is increasing. I mean, think of all of the things that are working toward the end. It's going to be awesome. We're going to need God's protection. We'll see. Verse 6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you from being a priest to me. Since you have forgotten the law of your God, I will forget your children. All right, let's come back to Psalm 91. Okay? Now, Psalm 91 is a psalm we need to go over quite often. Because living in these days, we need to be, number one, close to God. Number two, alert to the circumstances around us. Number three, to know that these things are going to be. And number four, to ask God to be with us. Now, we may just barely escape some of these things as they come along, but nevertheless, God is with us. So here's Psalm 91. I read this quite often now, and I hope you do too. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of his wing, of the Almighty, rather. Talks about his wing here in a little bit. Shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Do we dwell in the secret place of the Most High? With his Spirit, yes. Don't we? Shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. So here's how we pray. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I will trust. In everything that we do. See, brethren, we're to grow in grace, we're to grow in faith, we're to grow in love, and all of these things will give us the spiritual strength from God so that we can draw close to God, and that even though these things are going to happen all around us, that God will watch over us. Now notice, surely he will deliver you from the fowler's trap and from the destroying pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. That's why the most important thing is your relationship with God, through prayer, through study, your relationship with the brethren, that we love each other, that we help each other, that we pray for each other. That's what's important, brethren. God will intervene. We've had God intervene in many, many cases. But lest we get lifted up in pride or vanity, we're not going to stand here and blow the trumpet. But just continue to trust in God and ask him to intervene and continue with his will. Now notice, you shall not be afraid of the terror by night. Now how many times have we read terror? At least three times, right? Nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the plague that walks in darkness, nor for the destruction laying waste at noonday. And when did these tornadoes come? 1,000 shall fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand. It shall not come near you. See, the God is the one who protects us and watches over us. And he has his angels who minister to us. So that's what we need to look to. So when we read these things and see what's coming, this is for us to know what is going to happen and why it's coming. And this is for us not to become depressed and down about it, but to look at it as a warning and understand that we need to really yield to God and grow more in grace and knowledge so that he will fulfill his blessing of Psalm 91 toward us. Okay? Only with your eyes you shall behold and see the recompense of the wicked, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, this is David writing, even the Most High, your habitation. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. Now, this doesn't mean you're going to live fat and sassy out in the open for everyone to see. We're going to suffer the loss of some things, but God will watch over us. He shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. That's quite a blessing. That's tremendous, you see. And always remember this. If God is for you, nothing can be against you. See? Absolutely nothing. And they shall bear you up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the asp, and the young lion and the jackal you shall trample underfoot. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. Now that's talking about the resurrection right here. That's our goal. That's what we're looking forward to. That's why we're here. He shall call upon me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Now that long life is eternal life. So brethren, you can see how things are going in the world. You can see how things are going in the churches of God. You can see how things are going in your life. And in all of these, God wants us to learn, to change, and to grow. And in all of these things, he wants these to be motivators to draw us closer to him, to receive us of his spirit, of his love, of his faith, of his power, and everything that comes from him. So this is what we need to keep in mind when we see all of these difficult days coming upon us that we're living in right now. So I hope this helps us all together. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.